As you can see, this is a water bottle. You know, let's say you are very, very thirsty, as like me. Some people look at this water bottle and say, wow, it's half full, and appreciate it. But some of you, there's only half of the water left, you know, and complain. The same amount of water in this bottle, but the perspective of people looking at this water bottle is totally different. And as you can see the picture of the next pictures, you see that? Wow, what happened? The house, the building, no. Then the other one, please. Yes. It's the same building, but it looks different depending on the point of view. This building is definitely not a slanted house. It's just built on a steep hill, right? And also the other pictures, the next pictures, as you can see, we have different perspectives on the same thing, the same event, the same situation, and the same world we live. We are looking at the world from different perspectives, sometimes positive, negative, sympathetic, or rejected. You know, you might guess what we are talking about today. Numbers chapter 13 tells us a story that teaches us how important it is to look at the world with a certain perspective. Moses led the Israelites to the wilderness of Paran near Canaan and tried to explore the city of Advance, the land of Canaan. Moses selected 12 spies, one from each tribe to form a spy squad. The 12 spies carried out spying activities throughout the land of Canaan for 40 days. Although the minimum number of people was sufficient, the reason why he chose 12 people might be because of various point of views in mind. I think it was a pretty democratic way. Their mission was to spy out whether the land of Canaan was good or bad, whether the people were strong or weak, whether they were few or many, whether the cities that they dwell in were camps or strongholds, and whether the land was rich or poor, and etc. Their mission was only to report what they saw as they were. At the end of 40 days, the 12 spies returned to Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, and they reported to Moses and all the congregation of the people of Israel. It was the grape season, so they brought a bunch of grapes from the land. Two people carried it on a pole beating them because it was too big. And they said, "We went to the land to which you sent us, and oh, it does flow with milk and honey. Just look at this fruit. So far, it didn't seem to appear a problem. However, the problem was that the 10 spies had a different point of view on military power than Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies said that the people of the land were strong, and the cities were fortified and very large and impregnable. They even say that they saw the descendants of Anak, giant people in Hebron. The people of Israel began to starve. At this time, Caleb reassured reassured the people and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the 10 spies were stubborn. They said, "We cannot attack those people. They are way stronger than we are." They spread scary rumors among the people of Israel. They said, "We scout out the land from one end to the other. It is a land that swallows people whole. Everybody we saw was huge. Alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers." The whole Israelites were in an uproar, wailing all night long. All the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation was in on it. Why didn't we die in Egypt or in this wilderness? Why has God brought us to this country to kill us? Our wives and children are about to become plundered. Why don't we just head back to Egypt and right now? And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." When the situation got serious, Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes and shouted loudly to the whole congregation, "This land is a land flowing with milk and honey that God has given us. That land is good land. Don't be afraid. God is with us." They tried to encourage and reassure the whole congregation. How did the Israelites react when they heard this? Were they relieved? No. On the contrary, they tried to stone Joshua and Caleb, who delivered a message of hope. This situation reminds me that Jesus, who came to this earth to save the world, was rather not welcomed and was killed by their hands. What do you think of this story? In some ways, if there is a disagreement within an organization, the majority rule is very simple and can be one of the easiest ways to make a decision. The majority principle in a democracy is the surest way to ensure fairness and is believed to be reasonable. It is a general tendency to think that doing so is the most faithful attitude to the democratic process. According to the rational judgment and choice of the majority, they concluded that it was true that they were at a disadvantage compared to Canaan. They were also convinced that returning to Egypt was the safest option as well as the most sensible decision. In fact, it was based on objective facts they observed while spying. If you were one of the Israelites at the time, or if you were one of the 12 spies, how would you have reported and reacted to it? Which side would you have taken? Joshua and Caleb, or those people who tried to stone them? We can easily choose Joshua and Caleb, and we can easily blame the 10 spies or the people of Israel who tried to stone them, right? We are so familiar with this story. I grew up with this story countless times. So it has been taken for granted that I could easily blame the 10 spies and the Israelites. How stupid they are. How stupid they were. Canaan is in front of them, and with foolish judgment, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and died without even stepping on the land of Canaan. All died. How ridiculous is that? How stupid they were, you know? We could easily take the side of Joshua and Caleb, right? Accuse the foolish Israelites and point out their lack of faith. But if you look more closely at the story, you can understand them rather than criticize them. If you face a situation like this, will you be able to deal with every situation with only faith? Or will you make reasonable, rational, and common sense judgment first? It is natural for humans to think reasonably, rationally, and in common sense. Objectively, Israel is weaker than Canaan. Their cities are fortified, and it's big. It is a fact that even non-military experts can easily determine that Israel will not be able to defeat Canaan if they go to war. Rather, returning to Egypt would have been the safest way for their lives. This is a decision based on very common sense judgment. Their decision was a rational judgment based on objective facts. We generally don't blame someone for making a reasonable judgment. Rather, the opposite. Frankly speaking, Joshua and Caleb were instigating the people to drive themselves to death. And their judgment is irrational and reckless. They deserve to be blamed. That's why people try to stone them to death. The Israelites were rational and reasonable. I understand and agree with them so well, because I'm a human being too. But why? Why should he blame the Israelites, not Joshua and Caleb? Perhaps the Israelites with stones are the manifest image of our life today. We are rational, reasonable, pretty reasonable, intelligent, and even smart. We often say, why does God go beyond our common sense? Why is God always different from what we think? God, give me what I want. This is what I need right now. Why are you always telling me to take the hard way rather than the easy and simple way? Why didn't God listen to Israel's demands and reasonable complaints? Rather, God raised the hands of Joshua and Caleb. We must see what God wants to see from the people of Israel in this story. What did God want to see from them? It was their faith in God's promise, not their rational thoughts and judgment. No wonder in the midst of the wilderness, over 2 years after they came out of Egypt, God had shown them that God is their God many times. the Israelites could witness the presence of God with their own eyes every day, above all, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of the fire had always been above their tent. God was always with them. But their eyes were on the situation only they were in, rather than on God. God still wants to see our faith. He wants our perspective to be changed to His perspective. God wanted the Israelites to see Canaan with God's eye view, God's perspective. Their problem is that they forgot the fact that the land of Canaan was already given to them. They lost the direction they were going. Their eyes only looked at the strong city of Canaan, the giant people, and themselves like grasshoppers compared to them. But God has clearly promised, "I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Numbers 13, 1 and 2 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel.'" God keeps saying that He will give them the land many times. In fact, from the moment they stepped on the land of Canaan, the land could already be their land. They should have made a choice of faith. They were right in front of Canaan. All they had to do was step on in the land. That's it. Through Jesus Christ, God's work of salvation has already been completed. When we believe in the fact, salvation becomes our reality. Jesus Christ has completely solved the problem of all our sins. We believe that we are no longer slaves to sin, but children of God. Amen. We are still reasonable. The circumstances and problems surrounding us seem bigger than God's promises. Sometimes we cannot see the world from God's point of view. But Jesus was the most irrational as well as ridiculous during His time on earth. He was reckless even, because Jesus saw the world through the eyes of God. He always looked at the world from the perspective of the kingdom of God. He had Heavenly Father's eye. We should try to look at the world surrounding us from God's point of view. Looking at the world from God's point of view is called faith. Faith. Hebrews chapter 11 defines faith this way. Faith is a reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. Faith is believing God's promise. They are invisible to our eyes now, but we take a step forward, then faith becomes real to us. This is not to say that all our wishes and dreams come true by faith. Faith is not a tool to realize my dream. Faith is not the way to get what I want. Faith is based on the faithfulness of God's word and His promises, not rational ideas. We believe in God only, His word only, and his promises. Do you believe that? Living by faith is in some way unreasonable and irrational in the world. Sometimes it goes beyond common sense. So the author of Hebrews gives a good example of those people who lived by faith in chapter 11. It tells how they were irrational, absurd, and sometimes reckless as they lived in the world. I'd like to read whole chapter 11, but I won't do that. They lived by faith without being ruled by the world in many hardships and persecutions. Then the author of Hebrews says this about them in verse 38. The world didn't deserve them. The world didn't deserve them. The Korean Bible that I have says this verse like this. The world cannot afford such a person. Simply put, the world cannot control those people. The world cannot control them. Either the world is defeated by you, or you are defeated by the world. Are you a person the world cannot control? Can't control? Or are you completely ruled by the world? If you want to live a worthy life as a Christian, no one wants to live as the helpless Christian who cannot handle the world. However, the clear truth is that if you become the one the world can handle, you have to admit the uncomfortable fact that you have no choice. You have no choice but to live as dominated by the world it can't handle. What would you do if you were faced with a situation like Israel in your life? Will you make a reasonable, rational choice in the fact of reality? Or will you look at them with faith from God's point of view? From the point of view of the Israelites, they saw themselves as grasshoppers before the people of Canaan. However, Joshua and Caleb, their point of view was completely different from theirs. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Another version of the Bible says, they are our prey, or they are our lunch. It's the same situation, but looking at it from a completely different point of view. How can you live by the faith that the world cannot afford? Tommy Tenney, the author of the book God's Eye View, he says, worship until you have God's eye view. And he said, are you going to look up, or are you going to look down? Can you imagine what would happen if you had God's eye view? Have you ever climbed into the sky in an airplane and looked down at things on the ground? They are the same thing, but everything is bound to look small. Likewise, when you have God's eye view through worship, all the problems surrounding your life will no longer subdue you. Worship magnifies God, and your problems are debilitating. Tommy Tenney declares that worship can help us have God's eye view. And he says, you will see your life from God's point of view. I quite agree with him. Through worship, we can have God's point of view and our faith will grow. Above all, we remember and look at Jesus Christ through worship. That's why we are here today. Frankly, we cannot lift our eye views up to God's eye view. So maybe it's actually impossible for us to have God's point of view. We cannot do anything but look up. But thankfully, God chose not the way we were lifted up, but the way God lowered himself for us. The only way I can match Sam's eye level is that I would have to lower down to his eye level. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the earth and lowered himself to our eye level, eye view level. When you look at Jesus Christ, we can make eye contact with God. And he slowly lifts us up to his eye view level. And we are able to see the world from his eye view. When you turn your eyes upon Jesus, you can feel the living God. Your life will become the work of God, and God will begin to work in your life. Do you believe that? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. You will have God's eye view.